Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. What's that? Well, it's the Threefold Lotus Dharma Sutra from Quantum Life Buddhism and Threefold Lotus Kwun. What a great outfit. What a fabulous sangha we are. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for being here. Chapter 11. Oh, man. We're getting into it now. Apparition of the Precious Stupa. Man, I've been waiting to get to this one. I start off with an annotation. You can tell I'm excited, right? I preempt the words. For Nichiren, this chapter is the template of our modern practice of the Sutra of the Wonderful Lotus Flower Dharma. It's the template for Nichiren's doctrine. As we sit at our altars in the presence of being surrounded by monks of all standings, the magnificent treasure tower floating in the air, the Butsudan, with the seven-jeweled Nichiren mandala housed within, and in the presence of Shakyamuni and many treasures Buddha, or Taho Buddha, with incense, candles, water, and plant life, we honor our very essence of Buddha-ness. And with our chanting, singing, we pay homage to the gateway in our minds, to the Dharma, the experience itself of Buddha. Now we get into it. At that time, in front of the Buddha, a stupa of the seven precious jewels, 500 yohanas, or yohana, to remind you, is about 8 miles, in height, and 250 yohanas in length and breadth, this thing is massive, sprang up from the earth and abode in the sky. Yeah, Kern's translation of the Lotus Sutra says the word vaihashyasam as a metaphoric phenomenon. Anyway, it was decorated with all kinds of precious things, splendidly adorned with 5,000 parapets, thousands of myriads of recesses, and countless banners and flags hung with jeweled garlands, with myriads of codas of gem bells suspended on it, on every side exalting the fragrance of Tamalapatra sandalwood, filling the whole world. This was some stupa. All its streamers and canopies were composed of the precious seven jewels, gold, silver, lapis lazuli, moonstone, agate, jewel, and carnelian. What jewel is, we don't know. Reaching up to the palaces of the four heavenly kings, the 33 universal realms of influence, reigning celestial Mandarava flowers paid homage to the precious, paid homage to the precious stupa. All of these decorations. Other universal realms of influence, dragons, yakshas, gandharvas, asuras, garudas, kimnaras, mahoragas, human and non-human beings. All these thousand myriad codas of beings paid homage to the stupa with all kinds of flowers, perfumes, garlands, streamers, canopies, music, revered, honored, and extolled it. Then from the midst of the precious stupa, there came a loud voice, praising and saying, "Excellent, excellent, world-honored Shakyamuni, you are able to teach to the great assembly the wonderful Lotus Law Flower Dharma Sutra of universal and great wisdom. by which bodhisattvas are instructed and which the Buddhas guard and mind. So is it, world-honored Shakyamuni, all that you say is true. It's interesting in the rhetoric here that Tahoe, Buddha, many treasures Buddha, see the personage there, is talking to Shakyamuni. He's not talking to some embodied presence in the air called Buddha. He's talking to Shakyamuni. And what is Shakyamuni doing? He's teaching the Dharma, how to experience Buddha. I just got through with a short video on follow the law, not the person. So, sorry if I'm belaboring the point. Then the four groups, beholding the great precious stupa abiding in the sky and hearing the sound which proceeded from the stupa, were all filled with delight in the law and with wonder at these unheard of happenings. What's going on? They rose up from their seats and reverently folding their hands, withdrew to one side. Ooh, what's coming? What's happening next? Could you imagine? This is like an Indiana Jones movie, right? Things are just larger than life, right? Meanwhile, a bodhisattva mahasattva named Great Eloquence, perceiving uncertainty in the minds of the worlds of the universal realms of influence, men, asuras, the others, spoke to the Buddha, should say Shakyamuni Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, for what reason has this stupa sprung out of the earth, and from its midst this voice proceeds?" Then the Buddha told the Bodhisattva, Great Eloquence, "In this stupa there is a whole body of the Tathagata." Now this is earth-shattering news, because in mainstream or earlier teachings of Buddhism, the idea of a Buddha, because they were still envisioning the cult of personality, right? Only one could exist in the world at a time. Because the very state, see, they know and they don't know. The state of Buddha is the entire cosmos. So there can't be more than one. They understand this. They understand that Buddha is a cosmic thing, that it's a universal, not a particular realm, but, if you will, a realm of the realms. It is the action of life. It is the engine of life. And there is nowhere in the cosmos where that is not the case. Or there wouldn't be cosmos. I mean, right? You get it? So, if there's a Buddha, how can there be two? That doesn't make sense, right? So if we rewrote this to make sense, we would say that there is a manifestation of the Tathagata through which we communicate, and that entity of communication is Shakyamuni. And then there's another Buddha as an instantiation of Tathagata-ness in a different vehicle we call Tahoe. But ultimately, there's still only one Tathagata, because that is the universe we're in. We start to qualify these terms a little better, it's not so confusing anymore, right? And I'll point you to a little gatha I just posted today on threefoldlotus.com and on this channel called Buddha Is. And I hope that does a little bit toward clearing this misunderstanding up, yeah? Tathagata is the universal realm of formations, or the expressed realms are all from this Tathagata. That's why it's innate in all phenomena. But when it's a phenomena, like a person, being aware of or experiencing that engine of life, we call Buddha. That's the difference. One is the nature of the thing. One is an expression of the thing. Realms of form, right? And that's our formula. From quiescent energy through formations, realm of form, name and form. Karma. It's a very neat and tidy philosophy. It just takes quite a bit of study to, I get it, Renge, I got it, aha. All right, let's continue. Then the Buddha told Bodhisattva great eloquence, in this stupa there is a whole body of a Tathagata. Of long ago, in the past, innumerable thousand myriad kodas of Asamkaya worlds away in the east, there was a domain named Jewel Clear. In that domain, there was a Buddha entitled Abundant Treasures. When that Buddha was treading the Bodhisattva way, he made a great vow. Now he's talking about the beginning of the cosmos. So this is a, you could say, oh, I don't want to say it. Well, Westerners will understand. This is the creation story, yeah? After I become a Buddha and am extinct, if in any country in the universe there be a place where the Law Flower Dharma Sutra is taught, my stupa shall arise and appear there in order that I may hearken to that sutra, bear testimony to it, and extol it, saying, guess what? Excellent. When that Buddha has finished his course, his extinction approaching, in the midst of universal realms of influence, men and great host instructed his bhikshus, those who after my extinction desire to revere my whole body should erect a great stupa. So did you follow all that? Basically, this abundant treasures instantiation or expression of Tathagata made a vow that whenever this ultimate teachings was expressed, that his enlightenment would appear to extol, pay testimony to it, homage to it, to support it. Right? It's another version of what Shakyamuni Buddha says he will do to anyone who practices this great law of Myoho Renge Kyo. His presence, his energy of formations in the universe, which you are an expression of, will simply support you. It's just encouragement for your higher realm. You're higher as you push yourself to be more and more in life. Every skill you learn, everything that you do that's beneficial to life, doesn't it support you through more and more things? Don't you gain more and more knowledge? Isn't that the way we observe life to work? So certainly, if you're exercising your maximal potential in your mind, that has to take expression in life. You are intervening, participating, being immersed in the formations. And as Shakyamuni taught very early on in the Four Noble Truths, the formations that lead to tendencies and conditions of attachment, of craving, of clinging. We need to cease those formations and instead focus on the formations of our Buddha-ness, our enlightenment, our good, if you have to put that label on it, our life-affirming behavior. That just begets more life affirmation. That's how we fully express our karmic freight train with our tendencies and conditions influenced to the better, to the maximal, to the full. It's over and over again in all these stories, the same basic teaching. It's easy to miss if you don't know about it, right? Whenever in the worlds of the universe, the law flower Dharma is taught, what I was just saying, that Buddha, by the supernatural powers of his vow, causes his stupa, containing his whole body, there to spring forth and praises the sutra. His whole body being what, right? We know about the three bodies of the experience of the Dharma, Buddha. That's what Buddha is, not a person. The experience of the Dharma, the truth, that's Buddha. Excellent, excellent, great eloquence. It is because just now the Tathagata Abundant Treasures heard the Law Flower Dharma Sutra taught that his stupa sprang up from the earth and he extolled the sutra saying, excellent, excellent, right? That's what just happened. Thereupon the Bodhisattva great eloquence, because of the transcendent power of the Tathagata, said to the Buddha, world-honored one, we earnestly desire to see this Buddha's body. Prove it. The Buddha addressed the Bodhisattva Mahasattva great eloquence thus. This Buddha, abundant treasures, what a great name, right? He's a personification of everything contained within that great stupa. The experience of Buddha-ness, yeah? Has a profound and grave vow. When my stupa appears in the presence of any of the Buddhas, for the sake of hearing the Law Flower Dharma Sutra, if he desires to show my body to the four groups, let the Buddhas who have emanated from that Buddha and who are teaching the law in the worlds in all directions return all together and assemble in one place, and then shall my body appear. So great eloquence, I must now assemble the Buddhas who have emanated from me and who are teaching the law in the worlds in all directions. Now, what does that mean, Buddhas who have emanated from me? Have you assisted anyone, just one person, in their path to Buddhahood, in their path to understanding Buddha, their path to become a bodhisattva and open their Buddha mind, Buddha eye? If you have, that Buddha has emanated from you. So Shakyamuni, who's traveled all over India, has touched the minds of thousands, and each, your mind, my mind, her mind, their minds, all have the same capacity because it's innate of Buddha. If you treat everyone you meet as Buddha, then you will experience them differently, won't you? And they, in turn, will experience you differently. But the point is, when you raise people's life condition, you are emanating not Sylvain, not Bob, not Joan, not Betty, You're emanating Buddha. It's universal. That's why it connects and resonates with everyone. Because it's not Saha you. It's Buddha-ness. And it's already there. It just needs to be excited. So great eloquence, I must now assemble the Buddhas who have emanated from me and who are teaching the law in the worlds of all directions. Great eloquence replied to Buddha, world-honored one, we would also see the Buddhas emanated from the world-honored one and revere and pay homage to them as well. Then the Buddha sent forth a ray from the circle of white hair between his eyebrows, whereupon eastward there became visible all the Buddhas in 500 myriad kodas of nayutas of domains, numerous as the sands of the Ganges. All those domains had crystal for earth and jeweled trees and precious cloth for adornment, were filled with countless thousands, myriad kodas of bodhisattvas that jeweled canopies stretched above them and were covered with networks of jewels. All the Buddhas in those domains were teaching the laws with ravishing voices. An innumerable thousand myriad kodas of bodhisattvas were also seen filling those domains and teaching to the multitude. So too was it in the southern, western, and northern quarters, in the four intermediate directions, in the zenith and the nadir. Wherever shone the ray signal from the circle of white hair. Then the Buddhas in all directions each addressed the host of his bodhisattvas, saying, good sons and daughters, we must now go to Shakyamuni Buddha in the Saha world and pay homage to the precious stupa of the Tathagata, abundant treasures. Interesting that they call it the Tathagata abundant treasures. Right? Because this is the universal engine of life. And that they're going to come to this Saha world means that this light that's shown, that you might read literally, is really Shakyamuni sharing his Buddha eye with those in the audience so they could perceive what he was perceiving. It's a story, right? And as I say all the time, Buddhism is about the mind. So this is occurring in the minds of those present. Thereupon, the Saha world instantly became pure, with lapis lazuli for earth, adorned with jeweled trees, cords made of gold, marking the boundaries of his eight divisions, having no hamlets, villages, towns, cities, great seas, great rivers, mountains, streams, forests, and thickets, smoking with most precious incense, its ground strewn with mandarava flowers, spread with precious nets and curtains, and hung with all kinds of precious bells. This is an opulent place, yes? There only remained the assembled congregation, all other universal realms of influence and men having been removed to other lands. Then those Buddhas, each bringing a great bodhisattva as his attendant, arrived at the Saha world and each went to the foot of a jeweled tree. Why would all these Buddhas need a bodhisattva as attendant? Because the bodhisattva is the Saha expression of that Buddha-ness. You and I are the Saha world physical expression of Tathagata-ness. This is why it's innate in us to awaken our Buddha eye. Because we came from it. You need to know this. You don't get Buddhahood. You don't derive it from anything. It's already there. You are it. It's just sleeping because you're so preoccupied with all the distractions of the Saha world. That is samsara, that trap of attachment, of desires, of opportunities to possess and collect, right? You've heard me talk ad nauseum about the warehouse of data and identification. We're so busy doing that that we just put our Buddha-ness to sleep. All we need to do is awaken it. That's why it's called awakening, enlightenment. Each of the jewel trees was 500 yohanas high, adorned in turn with boughs, leaves, blossoms, and fruit. Under all those jewel trees, there were lion thrones 5 yohanas high, also decorated with magnificent jewels. Then each of those Buddhas sat cross-legged on those thrones. I would imagine this place was getting pretty crowded. But again, this is a story. Just imagine it as an animation or as whatever, movie magic, yeah? Thus, all around him, the 3,000 great thousandfold world was filled with Buddhas, though as yet from but one point of the compass. The bodies which had emanated from Shakyamuni Buddha had not finished arriving. Then Shakyamuni Buddha, desiring to make room for the Buddhas who had emanated from himself in each of the 8 directions of space, transformed 200 myriad kotas of Nayudas of domains, all of them pure, without hells, hungry spirits, animals, and asuras, right, the lower worlds or realms, and moreover removed their universal realms of influence and men to other lands. Well, now he's playing 3-dimensional chess, you know? So everyone's everywhere. Blah, 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 blah. The domains thus transformed also had lapis lazuli for earth, were ornate with jewels, trees 500 yohanas high. On and on and on. Fruit under every tree was a jeweled lion throne 5 yohanas high, decorated with all kinds of gems. And there were no great seas or rivers, because those would be obstacles for useful land to stand and be counted as enlightened, yeah? Nor any Mount Musilinda, Mount Mahamusilinda, Mount Iron Circle, Mount Great Iron Circle, Mount Sumeru, and so on. All these kings of mountains, which always form one Buddha land, their jeweled ground was even and smooth, no obstacles. Everywhere jewel-decked awnings were spread and streamers and canopies hung, while most precious incense was burning, and precious celestial flowers everywhere covered the ground. And I have a little annotation here. A reminder, as this scene of unfathomable size and activity unfolds, is that Buddhist teaching is about the mind. These amazing emanations are simply our imagination. Functions of the mind, visualizations for the purpose of stretching our conceptions of the Buddha realm, pushing our ideas of what is possible. Buddha does this with time. He does this with space, because those are concepts that are very relative to me, 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 right? And the self, me, saha, me, is really quite a tight little circle. Even if we travel a lot, we carry that circle with us. So all of his efforts are like, no bigger, no bigger, no bigger yet. Until we hopefully, we lose that isolation of me, me, me. And we start to see ourselves as not that constructed circle of me, 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 but as more a small fraction participating in a much more enormous and unfathomable self. All right. Shakyamuni Buddha, in order that the Buddhas who were coming might be seated, he's such a great host. In each of the 8 directions, transformed 200 myriad kotas of Nayudas of domains, making them all pure, without hells, hunger, hungry spirits, animals, and asuras, and removing their universal realms of influence and men to other lands. The domains thus transformed also had lapis lazuli for earth and were ornate with jeweled trees, 500 yuanas high, adorned in turn with boughs, leaves, blossoms, and fruit. Under every tree was a jeweled lion throne, 5 yuanas high, decorated with great jewels, and there were no great seas or great rivers, nor Mount Musalinda, Mount Mahamusalinda, on and on and on. And precious celestial flowers everywhere covered the ground. At that moment, the bodies which had emanated eastward from Shakyamuni, namely the Buddhas who were each teaching the law in 100,000 myriad skotas of Nayutas of eastern domains, numerous as the sands of the Ganges, arrived and assembled. Whew. In like manner, in turn, the Buddhas from all 10 directions all arrived and assembled with their and took their seats in the 8 directions. Thereupon, each direction was filled with Buddha Tathagata from its 400 myriad codas of Nayutas of domains. It's just unfathomable, yeah? And that's the point. Then all the Buddhas, under all the trees, seated on lion thrones, sent their attendants to make inquiries of Shakyamuni Buddha, each sending a double handful of jewel flowers and saying to them, "Good sons and daughters, do you go and visit Mount Giratkuta, or Vulture Peak, the abode of Shakyamuni Buddha, and according to our words, say, are you, world-honored one, free from disease and distress? Is the Tathagata at ease in physical powers? And are all the groups of these bodhisattvas and shravakas at peace?" Now, obviously, there is no peak, Vulture Peak, that could hold all of these people. Vulture Peak here is a mythological place where Shakyamuni Buddha is located, right, along with abundant treasures in his tower, his stupa. Nevertheless, there is a location in India called Vulture Peak. That's why they use that Giratkuta name, because that's the Sanskrit name for that mountain. It is no Sumeru, by the way. It's just a small place where we're packing these Nayutas of mind, right? This is about the mind. Scattering over the Buddha in homage with these jewel flowers and say thus, such and such a Buddha joins in wishing that this precious stupa be opened. All the Buddhas sent their messengers in like manner. Then Shakyamuni Buddha, beholding the Buddhas who had emanated from him assembled together, each seated on his lion throne, and hearing that those Buddhas unitedly desired the precious stupa to be opened, straightway rose up from his throne and abode in the sky, along with the stupa. All the four groups stood up, folded their hands, and with all their minds gazed at the Buddha, or Shakyamuni, as he did this. Thereupon, Shakyamuni Buddha, with the fingers of his right hand, opened the door to the stupa of the precious 7 jewels, when there went forth a great sound, like the withdrawing of the bolt on opening a great city gate. Ooh, drama. Thereupon, all the congregation saw the Tathagata, abundant treasures, sitting on the lion throne in the precious stupa, with his undissipated body, whole, and as if he were in meditation. And they heard him saying, "Excellent, excellent Shakyamuni Buddha, speedily teach this Law Flower Dharma Sutra. I have come hither in order to hear this sutra." Then the four groups, seeing the Buddha, who had passed away and been extinct for immeasurable 1,000 myriads kotas of kalpas, speak such words as these, praised this unprecedented marvel and distributed on the Buddha abundant treasures and on Shakyamuni Buddha heaps of celestial jewel flowers. Thereupon, the Buddha abundant treasures within the precious stupa shared half his throne with Shakyamuni Buddha. Here you go, Shakyamuni, sit here next to me. Shakyamuni Buddha, take this seat. Whereupon Shakyamuni Buddha entered the stupa and sitting down on that half throne, folded his legs. Then the great assembly, seeing the two Tathagatas sitting cross-legged on the lion throne in the stupa of the precious seven jewels, each reflected thus. The Buddhas are sitting aloft and far away. Would the Tathagatas, by their transcendent powers, might cause us together to take up our abode in the sky. Right? This is 8 miles high, and there are those two Buddhas. We'd like to be closer so we can hear you, yeah? Immediately, Shakyamuni Buddha, by his transcendent powers, received all the great assembly up into the sky, and with a great voice universally addressed the four groups, saying, who are able to publish abroad the wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra in this Saha world, now indeed is the time. The Tathagata not long hence must enter Nirvana. The Buddha desires to bequeath this wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra so that it may ever exist. I'm getting old. My expression of Tathagata as Shakyamuni Buddha and this guy who's representing Tathagata from the unknown, the unfathomable past, we're about to leave this Saha world. So we want to hand this over and keep the ball rolling, yeah? At that time, the World Honored One, desiring to proclaim this meaning over again, spoke thus in verse. I think I'm going to leave that for, because this is major. I want to make a point here. So I'm going to continue with this in the next video. But I want to finish this, the portion that we read today, reminding you, this is the, I did a video some time ago, gosh, probably a year ago, called Presence at the Butsudan. And it's an answer to this question in many forms that comes to me about, you know, what should I be thinking when I start chanting? What should be my mindset? How do I chant? If I don't chant for things, then how do I chant? What should be going on in my head when I chant or recite Gonggyal, right? We all have this hurdle in our practice, whether you're beginning or you're intermediate, or even if you've been practicing a long time, maybe you've been away from it for a while because, you know, many reasons. And so I made that video, and in it, I talk about this very part of this chapter. And this is the way that we should present our Saha self to the precious stupa in the form of our Butsudan. That's the precious stupa. The seven jewels, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. I even put up, on threefoldlotus.com, I have a lot of these little brief, little PowerPoint things to help kind of anchor or thoughts. I have that for the Daimoku, kind of telling yourself in your mind what each of the seven jewels represents. Don't get too hung up on that, though. It's just another tool to help you get your mind and in presence in the Butsudan. I say, picture yourself. Here you are sitting here in front of the precious stupa. It's up high on your wall. You can see Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the seven jewels in the middle. You can see the symbols representing abundant treasures and Shakyamuni, seated right on either side of it, along with the rest of the assembly, and you're all suddenly You're floating in the air along with the mandala, or the representation that the mandala is putting in your face. It's this story that inspires Nichiren to create this tool. He wants to put you in that moment when the Buddha is bequeathing to you the Lotus Sutra, teaching the Dharma. What an amazing thing to think about. Does that change, alter your perspective, your mind? Because now we're in it. We're floating in the air along with the mandala. We're seeing the great assembly. Two instantiations of Tathagata, unprecedented. And we're going to start inculcating this teaching. Namu myoho renge kyo. Namu, I'm here present. Myoho renge kyo. Right. This is a very, very important chapter in the Lotus Sutra, and it doesn't end here. It just keeps the pedal to the metal, and we stay in the air for several more chapters. So consider your altar and your performing, your singing of the Daimoku, your recitation of the Gongyo, as these chapters. You're living it. It's a script for your life. If you're thinking about anything, that should be what brings you into and from there, fusion with that scene. Your Tathagatahood coming to life as you invoke it with the seven precious jewels. And the two Buddhas watching you. How amazing. Try to impress them. Yeah, that kind of Ichinen, yeah? All right. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. Thank you so much for your support. Those of you who like and subscribe, it's a simple thing to do. It takes a few seconds. Doesn't cost you anything. But it does help this sangha grow. Right? And those of you who can, who are purchasing ebooks or going to the bookstore, getting print books, getting mandalas, right? Or free podcast, access to threefoldlotus.com, a lot of free information there and helpful teaching tools. And patrons, oh my goodness. All of you are great bodhisattvas supporting this effort, reaching out. Patreon, PayPal, all the links are in the description. You know what to do. Just thank you. Take care of your health. Enjoy your practice. It's just so amazing. And I'll see you in the next one, all right? Bye for now.